Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're still doing, not only in this world, but personally in our own lives. How you are still conforming us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together and to worship you this morning. Father, we specifically pray that you would not only do a great mighty work here, but you would do a great mighty work in China, where they are experiencing much persecution, much heartache. Father, we ask that the persecution, that your kingdom would still grow, that you would empower your children with boldness to continue to worship you and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, so as we look into your word this morning out of Matthew chapter 2, we need to be encouraged, we need to be equipped, and we know that your word combined with your power and strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can do that. So Lord, do a great and mighty work this morning that can only be explained by you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, remain standing and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 13 this morning. And if you're visiting with us this morning and you're wondering why we're standing, God's word, when it is being read, it is worthy to be stood up for. There is much reverence in what we are about to do. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of the Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, "Rachel, weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So the Christmas Day celebration of December 25th was 5 days ago. And if the Lord wills, we are 2 days away from the new year. And although December 25th is behind us, let us make no mistake, as God's children, as the Lord's children, we must remember and celebrate the incarnation of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. The Lord, in his unending, never stopping, always and forever love, has provided salvation for sinners. It is this news that we need to dwell upon, not just this morning, but every day this week, every moment. On Friday, December 28th, I was watching the local Wichita Falls news station summarize the year of 2018. With event after event and story after story, not one story was encouraging. Everything that was considered newsworthy was of tragedy and loss. The ending of the report was the highlight of the man who won the biggest lottery of the year. As I sat in that cozy living room, I began to cherish and praise the Lord that I comprehend the greatest news in all the world. And no matter what is broadcasted, no matter what is talked about, no matter what is discussed, there is always good news. In Romans chapter 5, I would ask that you turn with me there to Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Let us be reminded of that good news. God's word reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." If you notice in these 11 verses, some of the things that you pick up on very easily are more than that, much more than that. Christ is enough. He is beyond what we can grasp with our minds. He is more than enough, because hope has come. Jesus Christ has paid the once and forever payment for our sins. Christ is enough. He is more than enough. It is our minds that need to be penetrated with the gospel each and every day. Our minds need renewal if we are to live lives that please the Lord. Today is a gift of God. The fact that you and I could wake up this morning, the fact that you and I could be here to worship the Lord, it is a gift. And we have gathered this morning for the primary purpose of worshiping the Lord, Jesus Christ. As we finish our study of Matthew 2 this morning, focus on seeing our sovereign Lord in each and every verse. Ask yourself the question, what does this tell me about the Lord? What does this tell me about the Lord? In verses 13 through 15, we find this: there is great comfort when we rest in our sovereign Lord and King. There is great comfort when we rest in our sovereign Lord and King. The wise men came and they worshiped Jesus as a child. They followed the star and they followed the commands of the Lord and did not return to Herod, but returned home by another way. The Lord was leading them. The wise men obeyed the commands of our sovereign Lord and King. Joseph obeyed the Lord and took Mary as his wife, and now the Lord continued to guide Joseph in his dreams. In Joseph's dreams, the sovereign Lord of all creation was instructing him and leading his family, that included Jesus, the Son of God, to safety and ultimately the fulfillment of the Lord's perfect and pleasing will. Herod was a powerful man, but Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were safe in the Lord's hands. Joseph did not question the Lord. He simply obeyed the Lord in every detail. He took his family and fled to Egypt, departing at night for the purpose of no one seeing them. And they began a 75-mile-long journey by foot. Most of us don't even like to walk 5 miles. Can you imagine 75 miles by foot and a pregnant wife? Sorry, she's no longer pregnant. So they travel to Egypt, Egypt would have been a safe place for this Jewish family because it was a well-ordered Roman province that housed a million Jews, according to the historian Philo. But most importantly, it was outside of Herod's control. Some may ask, could not the sovereign Lord have protected Joseph, Mary, and Jesus in Bethlehem? Absolutely. But this was not the Lord's will. Herod was searching to destroy the child. The Lord knew this, and the Lord was about to fulfill more prophecy. Because you see, what you have in Bethlehem is you don't have many people that lived in Bethlehem. It was not even on the map. Most people didn't even want to go there. But what do you have? You have Herod coming and slaughtering all of the male children 2 years old and under. Historians think that amounted to about 70 children. On one day, you have people march into the city and go door to door, finding their children, and they kill 70 children. It was the Lord's will for them to leave. Herod was searching to destroy Christ. In this passage, we see two biblical prophecies fulfilled. We see one truth spoken by the prophets fulfilled, and we see the Lord leading his people by three dreams. The Lord sent his son to Egypt. It says, out of Egypt I called my son. So Joseph, Mary, and Jesus remain in Egypt until the death of Herod, the one with earthly power who wanted to kill Jesus. Men have their own plans. We have our own plans. Presidents have their plans, but it is only the will of the Lord that will happen. It is his will. Here are a few passages that discuss the sovereignty of our great Lord and King, that discuss his will. You may want to jot these down. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 12. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 10. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, your transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. In our recent study of Job, in Job chapter 37, beginning in verse 11, we have, he loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around with his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 26, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon your threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. See, it doesn't matter the plans of men. God's will, His plan, will be accomplished on this earth, and it will be accomplished in our lives. Whether it's Joseph planning to divorce Mary quietly, whether it's Herod trying to destroy the Savior, a phone call reporting unpleasant news, whether it's a president leading the country, there is great comfort and resting in our sovereign Lord and King. He is good in His steadfast love and endures forever. He is working all things for His glory and our good as His children. He will fulfill every single promise that He has made. And the birth and the life of the Savior is just one proof of this. Creation, Old Testament, New Testament, the present, all of the future, God will fulfill His glorious and perfect will. Hope is found for sinners in Jesus Christ. Rest is found for saints in Jesus Christ. The Lord uses prophets in the Old Testament to once again show His sovereignty in the New Testament. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 4. 2, it's a fulfillment of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Hosea is a book of God's faithfulness, God's great love for Israel despite her unfaithfulness. Israel was a spiritual prostitute, and Gomer was a physical prostitute, and the Lord was faithful in spite of their unfaithfulness, and the Lord does not change. John MacArthur sums up Matthew 2, verse 15 perfectly. He says, when Matthew quotes the last part of that verse from Hosea, he applies it to Christ. Though Hosea was not knowingly predicting that the Messiah would one day be brought out of Egypt, Matthew shows that Jesus' return from Egypt was pictured by Israel's calling from the same country many centuries earlier. The Exodus, therefore, was a type of Jesus returned from Egypt with Joseph and Mary. And God had once brought the people of Israel out of Egypt to be His chosen nation. He now had brought out His greater son to be the Messiah. God called His people out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. Matthew points to Jesus as a Messiah with these verses. There is great comfort in resting in our sovereign Lord and King. He is good and His comfort is beyond our understanding. Our present life is to rest in who He is, and in so doing, we can rest in what is to come. Heaven, perfection, a life without sin, our home with Christ forever and ever, resting in who God is, resting in what God has done, resting in the fact that we look at what God has made, what He is doing. It is good because God has done it. Point number two, there is great comfort in knowing that earthly powers cannot thwart the plans of our heavenly King. There is great comfort in knowing that earthly powers cannot thwart the plans of our heavenly King. In verse 16, we find, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, he became furious. He sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel really weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Herod had all the male children in Bethlehem killed, but his purpose in killing the Messiah was unsuccessful. God's will was to save sinners, and Christ was going to the cross, and Herod could not upset the Lord's plans. Matthew 2:17 is the use of Jeremiah 31:15 as Jesus, as the new Moses. Though there was death, life came. In the words of Michael Green, bereavement became the pathway to blessing. Even though there was great sorrow and tears in Bethlehem, there is hope because the Messiah escaped. It is a glorious truth that Christ was protected before his earthly ministry began, as well as after. Time and time again, what do you read? And they tried to kill Jesus, and Jesus escaped. Time and time again, they tried to kill him, but it was not the Lord's will. There was a proper time for his birth, as well as for his death. Earthly kings can do much destruction, but the Lord's plans cannot be thwarted by men. His perfect and good will is going to happen in this evil and corrupt world. There is great comfort in knowing that. Point number three. There is great comfort in knowing that all the promises of the Lord our King will be fulfilled. There is great comfort in knowing that all the promises of the Lord our King will be fulfilled. And I encourage you this morning, if you are a child of God, and you don't know what those promises are, you have a book. Read it. Meditate upon it. Think upon those great and wonderful promises, because they are better than anything that you can see with your eyes. Christ lived in Nazareth, and Christ was called a Nazarene. In verse 23, this verse must be handled with care. It says he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. What was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now the words, he shall be called a Nazarene, are not found anywhere in Scripture. Verse 23 is declaring what the Old Testament prophets generally spoke about, not a specific text. Nazareth was a despised place. Jerome, the church father, wrote that Christians were often cursed as Nazarenes. It is clear that the Old Testament prophets believed that the Messiah would be despised and rejected. I don't know about you, but when you hear that, you automatically think about Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before us like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Psalm 22, verse 6 goes on to say, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people." Christ was despised and rejected by men. The Gospel of John says that Jesus came into the world as a light and they hated the light. The Son of God preached truth and men and women hated him for it. James Montgomery Boyce observed that Matthew 2 points to two main truths. Number one, the sovereignty of God. And number two, the need to confess Jesus as our King and Savior rather than oppose him as Herod did. You see, our great God and King is in complete control, and all of his promises will be fulfilled. Many of them have already been fulfilled. The promise of the Messiah, his birth, his death, his resurrection, these have happened. All of the Lord's promises are yes and amen. Christ will come again. Judgment is coming, but there is refuge in Jesus Christ. And all that we see today and all that we hear today, we can often turn off the television or turn the news all the way down, and we think, what in the world is the Lord doing? The Lord is doing his will. His purposes are being accomplished. His kingdom is still growing. Though earthly powers will seek to destroy the Lord's church, though governments will persecute Christians and martyrs will continue to give their lives for Christ, the Lord's church will never die, and the Lord's mission, it will be accomplished. I would love for it to be accomplished in my lifetime, but I don't know what the Lord's will is concerning that. Though sin is entering the world, it has brought physical and spiritual death. All who are in Christ will spend forever with Him in heaven. This is a promise. The good news of Jesus Christ, it reigns supreme over anything this world has to offer, over anything that is said. It is greater than all of our sin, all of the evil in the world, all of our hurts and our pain. Jesus is our Savior, our sovereign Lord and King. So as long as the Lord tarries, let us march this pilgrimage together as the body of Christ, proclaiming the Lord's birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, calling all to turn from their sins, to turn towards Christ, to believe in Christ for salvation. And in times that seem hopeless, let us remember our sovereign Lord who has worked His will throughout history. Nothing catches our Lord by surprise. He is still doing His work today, and His will is still being accomplished today. So find your refuge in Christ. Trust in His promises. In closing this morning, I would like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Our focus upon the Lord as Christians includes our focus upon what is to come. Beginning in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel to show His servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. As we have already had a time of confession this morning, we continue that by confessing that so often we become frustrated and we become overwhelmed by what happens in this life and we don't rest in You. We also become frustrated and overwhelmed by what we see, not meditating upon, thinking upon, and resting in the truth that You are the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That Your will is going to be accomplished, that You don't need us, but You choose to use us for Your name, for Your kingdom, for Your glory. What a great God that You are. Father, as we march forward by Your grace and Your will in 2019, we don't know what is going to happen, but You do. I pray that we would rest in You. I pray that we would depend upon You. I pray that we would be faithful to read and to study, to memorize and to apply Your holy word to our lives. I pray that we would have our minds focused on the glories of heaven so that we would be earthly good. I too echo what Isaac said earlier. Thank you for all that you have done this past year. We don't give you thanks enough. Through all the trials, the hardships, the suffering, the great news, the births, the spiritual births, the sanctification, you are so good. Father, now I selfishly pray for this church. I pray that you would use us more and more this year than we ever thought imaginable for your name and for your kingdom and for your glory. May we not rest in man's ideas of success, but may we rest in what is success according to your word, being faithful to you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our only salvation, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I would ask that you use this time right now to prepare your hearts. Scripture tells us to not come to the Lord's Supper lightly, but to examine our life. So if you have any unconfessed sin, confess that sin now before you partake of the Lord's Supper. And if you are not a believer, if you're not saved, if you have not been born again, if you haven't trusted in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, the Lord's table is not for you. Scripture says we proclaim the Lord's death by taking of the Lord's table until he comes. And so this is specifically reserved for those who have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ for salvation. But meet with the Lord right now. Prepare your hearts for what we are about to do. As you continue to meet with the Lord, just be reminded that we're not only remembering what Christ has done, we're also looking forward and anticipating the return of Christ. Remember the price that he paid and the fact that he is still growing his church. We look at the cross, we look ahead, we look inward. We look around and we see so much of what the Lord has done. I'll read again Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. As the men come forward, continue to examine your life, but also take time to give thanks to God for what He has done. We can take of this bread and drink of this juice as a reminder for all that is accomplished in Christ. Because as the scripture said over and over again, He is more than enough. Much greater than we could ever anticipate or think about. Please take this time to examine your life.